Okay. You ready? All right. Good morning.
Good morning, Elias.
And what shall we discuss?
Well, I have a couple of smaller questions and then some bigger stuff to ask, so I'll start with the smaller questions.
Very well.
One question Pat Lingtu asked me to ask you if she is observing essence to the author J.K. Rowling.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Thanks, I will tell her that. Next question is about some dreams that I've been having for several months. I keep having similar dreams. The circumstances change, but it's always a feeling of frustration. Like, I find myself in an airport and I've lost my luggage and I look everywhere and I can't find it. Or I'm in a place where I want to get something to drink, and everywhere I go to, they're out of whatever I want to drink. Or I had a dream yesterday morning where I needed to change my clothes before I went out, and I put my shoes on, then I had to take my shoes off, then I had to change my clothes, and then I was going to put my shoes on, but one of the shoes was broken. And it's like this, it's like I'm getting familiar with these dreams, because there's always this theme of frustration. Like, I'm trying to do something and external events are stopping me. And I know that I have been feeling kind of frustrated in my life, but I don't see why I keep having these dreams or what I'm supposed to figure out from these dreams about it.
The dreams are a reflection of what you are generating inwardly, which may not always appear obviously, objectively, or surfacely, but this continuous repeat of this theme in these dreams is imagery that is reflecting a constant underlying expression, which may at times be expressed objectively in frustration, and in other times it may be expressed in a lack of motivation. In other times it may be expressed objectively in somewhat of an anxiety. All of this is associated with an underlying association that does not necessarily always translate into a feeling, but an association that you generate that is somewhat dissatisfied with yourself, for it is related to the association of being productive or engaging actions that you think you should do but are not doing, and an underlying impatience with generating outcomes.
Hmm. Yeah, that makes sense, because I have been kind of going through a slow, lazy period and feeling like I should be doing more. And actually, just lately, the last few weeks, it's been better, but I've definitely been going through a period where that's the thing. It's like I don't, even though the dreams are about being frustrated with external things, it feels like it's really me that I'm frustrated with.
Yes. And in that, it is this association with what you should do or what you should be doing, and it is very strongly associated with outcomes in relation to those shoulds.
Right.
That the outcomes are not being accomplished, or they are not being accomplished quickly enough.
Something what?
Or that they are not being accomplished quickly enough.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, okay, that makes sense. That I was thinking, why am I still having these dreams when I'm starting to feel better about things? But even though I've been getting more stuff done and making some headway, it feels like it's still not enough.
Yes, I'm quite understanding.
Yeah. And I'm trying to let myself just do things at my own pace, but I do feel like I should just be perfectly productive all the time. And I think that's why a lot of the times I'm not productive, because I feel like I should be so much better than I am.
And this creates an overwhelm.
Right.
And
right.
In this, it may be helpful for you in each day temporarily to allow yourself, first of all, to relax with whatever you are doing, regardless of what it is. And in that, within each day, acknowledge several actions that you have accomplished. This will allow you to remind yourself that you are being productive in some manners, and it will reinforce your confidence with yourself in acknowledging some accomplishments each day. It matters not what the accomplishment is. It can be any action that you have successfully accomplished. It may even be an action of allowing yourself to engage a film without feeling anxious that you should be doing some other action.
Mm-hmm.
That you allow yourself to relax and enjoy the action that you are engaging is an accomplishment.
Okay. Thank you. That does sound helpful. Yeah. Okay. I'll think about that, especially if I keep having these dreams. I'll keep that in mind. Yes. The next question I had was about something I've wondered about for almost 6 years. Back on September 11th, 2001, I talked to my mother, and while we were talking about what had happened that day, she mentioned that one of my grandmother's friends, a woman in her 80s named Irene, had died the day before on September 10th, 2001. And later, I talked to a friend of mine, and while we were talking, he was upset not so much about what had happened in New York, but about the fact that a friend of ours, a young woman named Janine in her 30s, had also died on September 10th. And I remember being really struck by the fact that these two people had checked out just before all of that trauma happened. And I've also wondered, was there any connection between them beyond the fact that I happen to know both of them slightly? Were they maybe focuses of the same essence, or is there any other connection, or I just wondered?
Not focuses of the same essence, but yes, there is or was a counterpart action between these individuals, a parallel counterpart action, and also it is a presentment of imagery to you in relation to how many times this is not unusual, that individuals will choose to disengage prior to some mass event that occurs to avoid the trauma that they would have experienced.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, okay, thank you. That's kind of what struck me about it, like, that they both managed to disengage before it happened, and that I thought that the fact that it was the very day before was very interesting, and yeah, whereas the rest of us decided to stick around and see what happened.
But, as I have expressed recently with other individuals, you all incorporate this element of yourselves, this inner knowing. Let me express to you, you actually all know and are aware of more than you think you know or are aware of. And in this, there is a particular inner knowing that you each possess that serves as a type of rudder to your ship. Although many times you may steer your ship into rough waters, and although you may steer your ship into obstacles, whatever you do within your existence, in your reality, this one rudder serves you in a manner that avoids certain experiences that would be so traumatic or so overwhelming to you that you would not be able to function within. This element of yourselves has been translated throughout your history in many different manners. For many centuries, your religions identify this element as your guardian angel.
Mm-hmm.
Within your New Age philosophies, your metaphysics, they describe it as guides. But the function is the same, and this is the reason that these identifications have been invented. To explain this phenomenon, so to speak, that does steer you naturally away from experiences that would generate such trauma that you would stop functioning, that you would not incorporate the ability to engage certain experiences. This inner knowing within each of you knows what you cannot abide, what you cannot engage. and what you can. It knows your strength, and it knows what is too overwhelming for you. And in that, it also is aware in some aspects of the simultaneousness of time. Therefore, it is expressed in a type of sense. It may not necessarily be translated in thought, but there is a sensing of energy. And as you and many other individuals are aware, the events that occurred upon that day of the mass event were in motion prior to the actual culmination. Therefore, the energy was already being expressed in mass, creating the process that generated that outcome. But the flow of energy was already being expressed very powerfully. And individuals sense that. For you receive much more energy than you think you do. And once again, I will express, you actually do incorporate more of an awareness than you think you do, but you override it, and then you express that you did not know, or that you were not aware. In this, when individuals are sensing some experience that will be far too overwhelming for them, that inner knowing will motivate them to generate other choices to avoid those glaciers that will destroy the ship. And many times an individual will choose to disengage.
About how that would apply to what I know of these two women, and I can see different reasons why each of them might have chosen to avoid that experience. So, okay, thank you. That's very interesting. I'll think about that.
You are quite welcome.
Okay, I have a question, another question about people disengaging. And this is something I've wondered about a lot. I realize that each person creates their own reality and that they choose the time when they die. If I know somebody who dies, obviously it's their choice to disengage at that point, but do I also choose to live in that reality where they have disengaged? I mean, it seems to me that I must in some way be agreeing to their leaving, if that makes sense, or maybe I'm not.
Yes, I am understanding what you are expressing. I would express that defining it in terms of agreement to their choice although it may be accurate, it may be somewhat strong in the association, and it may be offering somewhat of an incorrect association with it. Yes, you are participating, and you are choosing to incorporate that individual in your reality, and you are choosing to interact with that individual for your own reasons, but you may not necessarily agree with their choice to disengage. You may not necessarily want them to disengage, but yes, the choice that they incorporate will be impactful in some manner to you, for you have drawn that to yourself. You have not created the choice, but you have drawn the experience.
Right. And I guess how I experience that depends on my own choices.
Correct. And it offers you information. Whether you choose to pay attention to that information or not is also your choice. But every experience offers you information.
Right.
But this is the reason that I would express to you that it is not necessarily an agreement, for that somewhat implies that you are satisfied with their choice, which you may not be.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's what bothered me about it. It's like, okay, if I create, well, I guess it's back to the thing of assuming that we create what we want, and obviously we don't always, so.
Correct. And that is a significant point. You create in alignment with your desire, but your desire is what you would term to be a very large general expression, and it does not distinguish in how that will be expressed. It does not distinguish between good or bad, or comfortable or uncomfortable, just as your leprechaun. And in this, your wants are much more specific. And your wants in relation to other individuals depend upon how you are expressing. But in association with death, it is important to remember that yes, you are creating all of your reality, and you are not co-creating, but you are participating with other individuals. And every individual incorporates their own choices, which you do not choose, and you cannot change.
Right. It's something that's been bothering me a lot because my father died a few months ago, and my mother died a little over 2 years ago, and I found that my father's death, I was sad about it, but it wasn't very traumatic for me because we were on good terms at the time. And there wasn't any, like, anger or bad feelings between us. But when my mother died, that was really hard because I had talked to you a few years ago about how she spent years taking care of her own mother and devoting herself to my grandmother. And I had the feeling that she was expecting me to do the same for her. And she eventually my mother got sick, and my impression was that getting sick was the only way that she could get out of spending so much time taking care of my grandmother. It was like the only way that she could justify putting my grandmother in a home, and that she kept getting more sick because she thought that if she got sick enough, I would have to move back out west to take care of her, and I didn't do that. So before my mother died, and even for the last couple of years, I've gone back and forth between being angry with her for expecting me to give up my life and do that for her, and at the same time feeling guilty because I know that it hurt her, and I know that she felt that she had done the right thing, and I didn't do what she thought was the right thing. So I've had a lot of emotional stuff going on about this. I'm not quite sure how to deal with it.
But these are situations of different guidelines, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
There is no reason for you to be guilty or even angry. For regardless of what she expressed, that was her guidelines. And your guidelines are different. That does not invalidate her guidelines or your guidelines, but it also does not dictate to you that you must override your own guidelines to comply with another individual. And I am understanding that it is a difficult expression when an individual thinks or generates the association that they themselves have been hurtful to another individual. For you care for other individuals, and you naturally do not want to be hurtful. But it is a matter of reminding yourself that your intention was not to be hurtful. Your intention was to be genuinely paying attention to you and allowing yourself to continue in your journey, which is significantly important to you, and to honor your own guidelines. There was no intention to be hurtful. Therefore, if the other individual is feeling that hurtfulness, what they are actually feeling is their own denial of themselves.
Right.
It is not actually associated with you.
Right.
But in denying herself her own freedom and denying herself her own preferences, that generates the hurt.
Right. That makes sense, because it was really clear to me that she was doing this because she thought she should, but it wasn't making her happy. And it was clear to me that even though she expected me to go back and take care of her, I felt like, you know, just kill me now. There's no way I could go back to that and live that life. And so, I mean, I did what I had to do for myself. And I also felt like I'm not responsible for making her happy. And I had part of what I've tried to figure out, you know, why I created the situation. And of course, that gets me nowhere, but I thought a lot about how I created it. And I think that I had this view of her as someone who didn't take care of herself and who, you know, in terms of health and money and stuff, and that I saw her as someone who was going to eventually be broke and I was going to have to take care of her. And that just, and it's like I ended up creating what I expected, or found myself dealing with what I'd expected. And I mean, I helped her out and moved her into a home, but I just felt like there was no way for me to make her happy, because in all my life I'd never really known her to be happy, and it just didn't seem like a, you know, it's like, why fight this battle when I can't win it?
I'm understanding, but this has also been quite valuable to you. Mm-hmm. For in your journey, you have been engaging a process for an ongoing time framework to allow yourself to accomplish what you want, to allow yourself to be who you are, to allow yourself to express more of your own freedom, and to move into an expression of genuine satisfaction and comfort with yourself. That is a tremendous movement. And you have been engaging this for an ongoing time framework. You have quite definitely been engaging this journey in the entire time framework that you have been interactive with myself. And you have, and you have accomplished considerably, and you have generated tremendous movement, and these elements are all a part of that, in serving to allow you to demonstrate your own strength to yourself, to reinforce to you your own power, your own empowerment, your own strength, and that you actually do incorporate the ability to stand firm within your resolve and therefore honor yourself. This is tremendous. And these experiences have served as catalysts to help you to express yourself and your strength, and to emphasize that to you, that you actually can do and accomplish what you want. You actually do incorporate the strength and the ability to accomplish. In this, rather than feeling guilty, I would encourage you to be acknowledging of yourself and what you have accomplished, for it is great.
Thank you. Yeah, that, and I do know that I am a lot stronger than I used to be, and this experience, it was really difficult, and yet I know that I did what I had to do, that I know that I made the right choice, and I also know that I can't, what you say about guidelines, I know that she had her ideas of what was right, and I have my ideas of what was right, and I keep wanting to make one of us wrong. You know, it's like this uncomfortable feeling of both of us being right in our own ways, and I'm still working on that. I guess just the acceptance that her view of things was different from mine, and it doesn't mean that she was wrong or that I was wrong.
Correct. For within your own guidelines, each of you were right for you.
Yes, exactly.
But that may not necessarily be right for the other.
Yes, yes.
And in that, perhaps you may offer yourself this reminder. Would you have not listened to yourself and not moved in the direction that you did, what you would have accomplished would be a compounding of misery.
Right.
For it would not have generated any more satisfaction or comfort or happiness for your mother, and you would have incorporated significant, if not overwhelming, frustration and discounting of yourself and irritation, and the more of that type of energy you would project in attempting to be helpful and caring for your mother, the more misery she would have expressed also.
Right.
Therefore, right, you would have perpetuated an extremely uncomfortable situation for you both. Whereas, in what you did choose, you allowed yourself to continue moving forward in your direction and your own empowerment, and she allowed herself to stop and to disengage.
Right. Right. Yeah, I actually talked to someone who said that I've done my mother a favor by doing that, by letting her see that the choices she had made were not the only ones possible. And I thought, well, that's kind of a, I don't know that that's a very wonderful gift to give someone, but I don't know, maybe it, I don't know.
In actuality, it may be. For that, in a manner of speaking, releases her from this cycle of obligation.
Right.
And
yes,
the perpetuation of that. And in that, allowed her to stop her own cycle of obligation and disengage.
Right. Okay. Okay, thank you. I did. That does help. I mean, even though it's like I knew that I'd done what I had to do, it's still, it just, there's a lot of the whole belief system around family and responsibility that I tend not to align with anyway. I mean, that's why I decided not to have children. And I'm really not a very family-oriented person, but it's still, it's so much around you that it's hard to ignore that, especially when your own family believes that family comes first, so.
Yes.
But I do know that I was doing the right thing for me.
I am quite understanding, and I am quite acknowledging of you.
Thanks. Okay. One other thing that's come up out of, I have a question about money. I know you've said that we create the money that we have and the money that comes to us, whether we get it from a job or some other way, that we actually create the money. And I guess that means that if you inherit money, that also is money that you create, even though it seems like it just comes from somebody else.
Yes. You are very familiar and very accustomed to generating associations that credit outside sources for what you create. But what you are not familiar with, but is what is actually occurring, is that your energy, as I have expressed, is being projected in every moment. And let me express to you a fun imagery to envision your energy. Your energy can be likened to an enormous donut that you stand within the middle of. And that enormous donut surrounds you and is a magnet. And in every direction, whatever energy you are expressing, that magnet draws what matches it. This is how you create. Whatever matches what you are expressing, that is what appears in your reality. That is what you create in your reality. Therefore, yes, regardless of whether you view the source of that money to be an inheritance or employment or a gift, it matters not, for it would not appear if you were not creating it. It would not be in your reality if you were not creating that. Therefore, as the example of an inheritance, an individual may incorporate a family member that has died, that incorporated considerable money, and depending upon that individual's magnet donut, that money may disappear. It may move in a different direction, or it may come to them.
That, you know, that makes sense. When it was very interesting to me when my mother died, as I said, I had a lot of emotional trauma around that, and her estate, even though everything was left to me, it took more than a year to finally settle the estate, and there were problems with it. In the end, everything turned out fine, but it did take a lot of time and effort and dealing with a lawyer and everything. Whereas with my father's estate, I didn't have, you know, difficult feelings with him, and his estate was settled really quickly and easily, just complete contrast. And I can see where I was like, with him, I had no problem with receiving this money. With my mother, I felt guilty and kind of felt like if I, because I had expected her to end up broke and being supported by me. So the fact that she left me money, I felt like, God, I should have told her to spend more money on Home Shopping Network or something if I knew this was going to happen. But in the end, it all worked out. But it was really noticeable to me that where I had a lot of emotional issues, things went took a long time, and where I felt okay, it was really easy.
Yes, and this, once again, serves as another example to you of physical reality and how your energy manipulates how that physical reality will be expressed. This is a clear, this is a very clear example of how you actually do create your reality, and that you are creating it, and it is being reflected in what type of energy you are expressing.
Enough about my parents. I had one last question about my cat, China. She's been doing this weird thing with her mouth. She curls her upper lip on one side, on the left side, and then she keeps opening and closing her mouth really wide and licking the top of her mouth, licking the roof of her mouth as if she's trying to swallow hair. And then she paws frantically at the side of her face, and sometimes she sneezes, and then she ends up usually washing. But I took her to the vet a couple weeks ago, and the vet couldn't find anything wrong, and all her blood tests are normal and stuff. So I don't think it's any big deal, but I'm just kind of wondering what's causing that and why she keeps doing this. Wondered if you had any impressions or...
I would express to you that this would appear to be somewhat obvious.
Okay. Hopefully, tell me. Nothing.
This would be very similar to your dreams. Let me express to you, as I have many times previously with individuals, creatures are incredible reflectors. Yes, they generate their own choices, but their language is expressed in action. They do not express in a verbal language as you do. They express their language in actions. Therefore, when they are reflecting you, as they do very well continuously, they generate actions that are expressive of what you are projecting. Therefore, in your projection of frustration or anxiety or impatience, you project that energy, and the creature is not choosing to create a physical manifestation that is necessarily damaging, but chooses to be generating an action, which is her language reflecting you, generating repeated actions that appear to incorporate no actual outcome, actions that appear to be somewhat annoying, but with no obvious reason, or with no obvious cause. For what you are generating, for the most part, is underlying. Not that you are not somewhat aware of it, but that most of the churning that is occurring within you is inward, which, as we have discussed, becomes expressed in anxiety or some frustration or lack of motivation.
Right.
And in that, you may not necessarily be feeling frustrated continuously. You may not necessarily be feeling anxious continuously, but that energy is being expressed. You may feel more often unmotivated than you do the other two. But that lack of motivation is directly associated with those other underlying energies, which creates the dream imagery as a reflection and creates the feline generating these repeated actions that do not appear to incorporate any obvious or surface cause.
Right. That's starting to make sense, because it is. It does look as if she's frustrated, like she's trying to get something out of her mouth, or as if something is bothering her, but she never seems to be able to get at it. And also, I thought it was interesting that this is the second time that she's created some kind of... A few years ago, she had this bump on the base of her tail that wouldn't go away, so I took her to the vet, and it was the same kind of thing. The vet said, oh, well, I don't know what it is. If it gets worse, bring her back, and it eventually disappeared. It's like she kind of creates these mystery ailments that don't seem to be anything serious, but are just kind of puzzling. But, yeah, I can see where... Yes, the fact that I part of the time I feel frustrated, like I'm not getting things done, and anxious because I should be getting things done, and then I ignore that and just don't feel motivated, and I try to pretend I don't care if I get things done. And yeah, and so the cat and I, because I'm not working or going to school right now, the cat and I spend a lot of time just sitting next to each other on the couch, and she, it's like, if I'm giving off energy, man, she's like exposed to it like 24 hours a day, so.
Quite so, and that creates a situation in which she will be quite intensely reflecting you.
Poor thing can't get away from me. Well, sometimes she does. She'll go and lie on the floor in the sun, but I mean, that's interesting.
Now, do not move in the direction of discounting yourself for the creature's reflection. Mm-hmm. For creatures do not generate the same associations as do you. As they do not incorporate beliefs, they do not generate that association of right or wrong. They are not viewing your energy in that type of assessment. They are merely reflecting it. And they generate a neutral association with it. They are merely expressing that reflection, such as an action of mimicking. For this is a manner in which they can communicate. For they do not communicate in words.
Right.
Therefore, they incorporate this ability to reflect as an avenue of communicating with you. And when you notice that a creature is generating an unusual behavior, it may behoove you to evaluate what you are doing. For in other behaviors, you understand what she is communicating to you. She incorporates many behaviors that you understand her communication to you, and you do not question it.
Right.
But you question when she exhibits an unusual behavior, and that is a manner of communication also, for this is her language.
Yes, that makes sense, that I would, yes, definitely I notice when something.
I would also express to you, my friend, when you incorporate a close relationship with a creature and they display unusual behaviors, generally speaking, as a reflector to you, they are actually offering you a supportive and helpful energy. For what they are expressing to you is an encouragement to evaluate what you are doing.
So it's not like she's doing this because I'm annoying her and she's trying to get me to stop. It's more like she's just showing me what kind of energy I'm giving off.
Yes, to benefit you. Just as you would express with another individual if you noticed that another individual was generating some action that was discomforting to them, that they may not necessarily be aware of themselves. But if you viewed the situation and you generated an evaluation of what the other individual is actually doing, you would most likely offer a communication to them to be helpful. And you would express, this is what I view. And perhaps this is what is creating your irritation. In similar manner, but without the beliefs, your feline is doing the same.
Okay.
She is reflecting to you to gain your attention that you will stop and evaluate what you are doing that is creating obstacles or creating discomfort for yourself.
Right. So if she stops doing that, then I'll know that I'm making some progress.
Yes.
Okay. I think she's been doing a little bit less anyway, but she's still doing it. So I'll keep an eye on that and I'll think about that and how I'm... Okay, thank you. That is helpful.
And perhaps engaging your exercise of acknowledging your accomplishments will be helpful in altering your energy.
Yes. I'll definitely start doing that. But yeah, and I know I don't do that enough, so I'll definitely do that more instead of just crossing something off the list and thinking, what do I have to do next? Okay. Well, I think our time is up, and thank you so much for your help.
You are very welcome, my friend. I anticipate our next meeting, and I offer my energy to you in tremendous encouragement for what you have accomplished and what you will accomplish and what you are accomplishing.
Okay, thank you.
To you in dear friendship, in great appreciation, and in lovingness. Au revoir.
Au revoir.
Well, hi there, where did you come from? Yeah. Oh, well, she was just up on my lap. Did you just come the last minute up on my lap?